Let me tell you a made-up story. It's made up, okay? Not real, I made it up. I'm going to tell it to you anyway. I need to part from my computer. So I went across the street to Vickery Hardware. They have everything. They didn't have a part. I said, I need this part for my computer. They said, we don't sell that. We sell rakes and shovels and wheelbarrows and tools and screws and nuts and bolts. We sell all, but we don't have that part. So I went to the auto parts store. I said, I need this part for my computer. They said, we don't sell that. So I went to another auto parts store. They said, we don't sell that. Went to the third auto parts store. I need this part for my computer. I said, we don't sell that. So I said, well, you know, Home Depot, they sell a lot of stuff. I'm going to Home Depot. Went to Home Depot and said, I need this part for my computer. They said, we don't sell that. I said, well, Home Depot don't have it. Lowe's will have it. So I went to Lowe's. I said, need this part for my computer. They said, nope, we don't sell that. Went to Walmart. They said, we don't have that part. I said, I need this part for my computer. I need this. They said, we don't sell that. So I finally decided to go to Micro Center. You guys know where Micro Center is? They had the part, even sold me the tool, how you put the part in, and explain to me you got to make sure this part is up instead of down. So what I'm trying to say is you got to go to the right place to get the right part. Do you agree with that? You got to go to the right place to get the right part. I want to talk about the peace of God. The peace of God. The peace of God that I can have within me. There's a settled conviction that God is in control and everything's okay. Peace means the absence of conflict. I'm not talking about conflict between nations and nations. I'm not even talking about conflict between people. I'm talking about the peace of God within you. The peace that you can have, that you're not like the cowboy that jumped on his horse and went off in all directions. That you have a settled conviction that everything is all right. And what I want to tell you, you can go to sleep after this because this is the main point I'm going to tell you. What I want to tell you is that you get the peace of God from God and nowhere else. You get the peace of God from God and nowhere else. And the reason I want to emphasize that is because we fall into the trap of thinking I can get it from somewhere else. If you're having conflict with your husband or your wife, your thought is, if that person would straighten up, I could have peace. You can't get peace from people. The only place to get the peace of God is from God. If one of your children going through a tough time and maybe doing some things, they have some friends that you don't like, doing some things that you know are wrong, and it's really upsetting you. You can't sleep at night, you're tore all to pieces, and everything, you just your world is all over everywhere. And you say, if my son would just straighten up and do right, I'd have peace. It's not true. You can't get peace from people. The one place you can get the peace of God is God. That's the only place you can get it. If you're having trouble at work, having conflict with your boss, or maybe your people who work under you, or maybe somebody who works on the same level you do, but just still causing problem, your thought is, if that person would straighten up and do right, then I would have peace. It's not true. You can't get peace from people. You can only get people peace from God. Now, let me go one step farther and explain to you, if you don't have peace, If you don't have peace right now, you need to know where to go to get it. Where's that? To God. Not somebody else. Not say if my husband or my wife or my children or my parents or my friends or my coworkers, if they would straighten up, I would have peace. That's not where you get it. That's not where you get it. You can get peace from God and live in the midst of all kinds of conflict and still have that peace. Because the peace, that the peace of God comes from God. Nowhere else. Nowhere else. I'm going to give you several scriptures, and you got them in that little card in your bulletin. I'm going to give you several scriptures, but basically the main point I want to make is you cannot get peace. You cannot get the peace of God from people. The only place to get the peace of God is from God. So if you don't have that peace, you need to work on this relationship. There are times when you need to work on that relationship, the relationship with other people. If you're having trouble in your family, you need to work on that. If you're having trouble with your children, you need to work on that. If you're having trouble with your parents, you need to work on that. But even if you could solve that, that will not give you the peace of God. If you do not have the peace of God, this is the relationship you need to work on. You know where to go. And you won't go to Vickery Hardware looking for computer parts. You won't go to the auto parts place and say, I need a part for my laptop computer. And the reason I told that silly story is because all of us make the mistake of thinking I would have peace within if somehow I could straighten these other people out. If I could get these other people to behave themselves and do like they're supposed to do, then I would have peace. You cannot get the peace of God from people. You can only get the peace of God from God. First step in having the peace of God. The only way you can have the peace of God is at first you have peace with God. The only way you can have the peace of God is to first have peace with God. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 5:1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Peace with God means that conflict between me and God. Who caused that conflict? Me. When I sin, I cause that conflict. So the only way I can have peace with God is to be justified by God, by faith. Now I want you to read, just for a second, I want you to read the word justified as saved. Therefore, having been saved by faith, we have peace. Peace with God. Now I'm in a peaceful relationship with God. And the only way I'll ever have the peace of God, that self-conviction that everything's okay, is if I solve that problem, if I accept Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. And if you've never done that, there's no hope for you ever having the peace of God. It's not going to happen. Because you've got conflict with the most important being in the universe. So you need to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You need to put your faith in Him. You need to repent of your sins. You need to confess Him publicly. You need to be baptized into Him in obedience to Him, raised to walk in a new kind of life. You need to remain faithful to Him all of your life. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. The next step in having peace is that you put Him first. You put Him first. Matthew 6:33 says, seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. If we were to go back and set that verse in context, and you ought to do that, that verse is talking about food, shelter, and clothing. That passage, starting in verse 24, talks about food, shelter, and clothing. And don't worry about all of those things, because if you seek God's kingdom first, He'll take care of all those things. And food, shelter, and covering covers all the necessities. So I need to put God first. And you know, as a kid, did you ever play King of the Mountain? You know what I'm talking about? Get up on the hill and you sit up there and everybody try to knock you off. So, I want to tell you that in your life, Jesus needs to be the King of the Mountain. And I also want to tell you there's always somebody trying to knock him off. There's always somebody trying to knock him off. Sometimes it's you. And the greatest threat to what's first in your life, what's second in your life. The greatest threat to what's first in your life is what's second in your life. I don't have a problem. If I were to list for you the top 10 things in my life, very seldom the number 10 compete with number 1. Very seldom. What competes with number 1 is what's number 2. So many times what's good and important in my life tries to push out what's the most important in my life. For most of us, we say God's first and family second, right? Most of us say that. And we always have to battle with family pushing God out. Always. Now some people don't care about God, about their family that much, but most of us love our family, and we have to make sure that family never jumps up there and pushes God off the mountain and takes that place. Put God first, but seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So, I need the peace of God. I cannot get the peace of God from, I cannot get it from people. I can only get it from God. That's the only place. First step is I must have peace with God before I can have the peace of God. Second step is I need to put God first. The third step is not worry but pray. Not worry but pray. Now we've got stopped preaching and went to meddling. Don't worry but pray. Philippians 4, 6, and 7 says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Be anxious for nothing. You know what anxious means? Worry. I mean, we could just stop right there and most of us would be in trouble. Be anxious for nothing means don't worry about anything. Ooh. I mean, that's hard for us. Things that we care about, things that are going on in our life, things that are going on in our work, things that are going on at church, it is hard not to worry about those things. It is really difficult. It is easy for me to tell you not to worry, but it's hard for me not to worry. Right? And it's easy for you to tell me not to worry, but it's hard not to worry. To be pulled in two different directions. And see, when I worry and I'm pulled in two different directions, guess what I don't have? The peace of God. How do I get it? I stop worrying and start praying. Stop worrying and start praying. And every time I look at that passage, which is quite often, every time I look at that passage, it always, I guess I should get hung up on the prayer part, but I get hung up on the part that says, pray with thanksgiving. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. What's going to happen as a result? And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. You know, as I studied the Bible, I used to worry about things that I couldn't understand. There are a lot of things in the Bible I don't understand. I've been studying it for years, but there's still some things that I don't understand. And it used to bother me what I don't understand. But you know what bothers me most now? That's what I do understand. Like this verse, for instance. I don't have any problem. I don't have any problem understanding this verse. You know what problem I have with it? Doing it. That's right. It's not a problem. I just don't understand what that means. No, I understand what it means. My problem is, how do I do that? How do I stop worrying? Something I was going to worry about. How can I stop worrying about that and pray about that and then pray about it with thanksgiving? Because the Bible promised me, if I do that, then I have the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding. All I got to do is stop worrying, start praying. That's all. That's all I got to do. And I know that. I understand that. I can preach that, and I can teach that, and I can tell you about it. The problem is when I go home, go in my bedroom, shut the door, it's hard. It is hard. So what was the first thing? Got to have peace with God before I can have the peace of God. What was the second thing? Got to put Him first. What was the third thing? Tell me again. Pray instead of worry. Okay. The fourth thing, hope I got the right order. Fourth thing is that peace is a fruit of the Spirit. Is that the right one? Galatians 5. Galatians 5, 22 and 23 says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. The fruit of the Spirit, it means when I allow the Holy Spirit to control my life, when I allow the Holy Spirit to control my life, He produces in me His fruit. And a part of that fruit is peace. You see, what happens to me is when I don't have peace, I say, well, if you would straighten up, then I would have peace. That's not where I get it. That's not where it comes from. Even if by some miracle you would straighten up, you're probably not, but even if you would, I still wouldn't have peace because that's not where it comes from. The peace of God comes from God, and if I have a right relationship with Him, I can have that peace. I don't care what else is going on. Doesn't make any difference what else is going on. You remember how many times I've told the story my wife tells me I tell the same illustration over and over. But you know, remember me telling a story about this rich guy who said, I'll give $100,000 to the person who can paint for me the most peaceful picture. He liked paintings, had paintings all over his house. He said, I'll give $100,000 to the person who can paint the most peaceful picture. And so these people, someone would paint mountain scenes and the beautiful leaves and all that kind of stuff. And my brother's in the mountains of North Carolina this weekend because this is supposedly the peak season for leaf, the peak weekend or something in Boone, North Carolina. Whether that's true or not, I don't know. But anyway, he's the beautiful leaves and all that stuff, you know. And so some people paint that, and some people paint the ocean. Just go and read the ocean. And people painted their cabin. They had a cabin which was just kind of in a quiet area, and there was just nothing going on, that peace, most peaceful picture. And the picture that won the award, the one that the man picked out, $100,000. This rich man would give him about $100,000 to paint the most peaceful picture. The most peaceful picture was a picture of the ocean, and there was a storm. It was lightning, and you could almost hear the thunder. He did such a good job of painting it, and the waves were beating over the rocks. I mean, it was a scary-looking sight. And there was a bird under the cleft of a rock, and he had him singing the most peaceful picture of all. Is one of God's creatures being at peace in the middle of a storm? Because the peace comes from where? Comes from God. It doesn't come from my circumstances. It doesn't come from how healthy I am or how unhealthy I am. It doesn't come from how nice my wife is to me or how mean she is to me. It doesn't come from whether my coworkers get along with me or not. The peace of God comes from God. That's where I get it. I get it from God. That's the only place to get it. If I'm looking anywhere else, I'm looking in the wrong place. I can't find it. The next verse I memorized, but I can't remember it. I had it memorized for a long, long time. It just won't stick. Any of you ever have that problem? It just won't stick. Okay. John 14, 20, and it's a great verse. I don't know why it doesn't stick. It's a great verse. One of my favorite waitresses, probably shouldn't tell this story, but one of my favorite waitresses, I've been eating at the restaurant where she's a waitress for years and years and years, and she asked me the other day, said, how do you memorize scripture? Said, how do you memorize scripture? I said, well, I memorize scripture by topics. I can't memorize scripture by chapters. A lot of people memorize by chapters. She said, oh, no, I can't do it by topics. My preacher said he wanted me to memorize chapters. Memorize chapters. So I finished my bill, came home, got my book. I wrote a book on how to memorize scripture, carried it back up to her and gave it to her. And church pays for all that. I give away those books I write. So I gave it to her. Next time I went to eat, she paid for my lunch. My waitress. I didn't have to give her a tip. She paid for my lunch because I did that. Then the next time I went, she'd already memorized one chapter. I don't know which chapter, but the whole chapter in the Bible. Not by my method. She said my method was too involved. But she didn't buy my lunch. So, but anyway, this scripture I try to memorize. It just won't stick. Jesus is speaking to his disciples, and he says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful. That's a fascinating passage because Jesus comes up and says, I'm going to give you peace. I'm going to give it to you. Not like the world gives. I'm going to give it to you. Peace I leave with you. And then he says in the same verse, peace I leave with you. Not my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Then he says, do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful. So when God gives me peace, there's something I got to do. There's something I got to do to take advantage of it. If you would put $10,000 in my checking account, and there's some people from overseas that has offered, by the way. Those of you who are not in the computer don't know what that means. But anyway, there are people, if you'll just send them your account number, they'll put money into your account. Don't do it, by the way. Don't. But anyway, if you were to put $10,000 in my checking account and I didn't use it or didn't know it, it wouldn't do me any good. If I didn't know it was there and go out and buy all that stuff I wanted to buy, it wouldn't help me at all. Even though I had it, if I didn't take advantage of it, it would do me no good. Jesus said, I'm going to give you peace, but now you need to not let your heart be troubled. In other words, there's something you've got to do to take advantage of it. I'm going to give it to you because it comes from God. It doesn't come from me. It comes from God. It doesn't come from my neighbors, my family, or my friends, or my coworkers. It comes from God. I'm going to give it to you, but you've got to do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful. Isaiah 26:3. And some translations translate this different. I like King James Version and the English Standard Version, so I put the English Standard in. You keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. You keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. One of my favorite people, and I don't mean by that personal friends, I mean somebody that I read from and respect a great deal, fellow by the name of Dr. Henry Brandt. He died recently at 92 years old. He was a Christian psychiatrist and a biblical counselor, and I really like his writing and the things that he says. He's a big proponent of memorizing scripture and all that. I like him a lot. But anyway, his wife, he'd been married like 30 years or something. His wife got cancer, and she was dying. He knew she was dying. She knew she was dying. The doctors knew she was dying. There was no question. There was nothing they could do. And he said he'd been all over the country. I mean, he was a pretty popular speaker among the Southern Baptists. He'd been all over the country telling everybody else how to deal with that. He was a psychiatrist. He's just telling everybody how to deal with it. And then it happened to him. It happened to his wife was dying with cancer. What do I do now? I've told everybody else how to deal with it. Now I got to deal with it. How do I do that? And he says this verse was one of the keys to dealing with his wife dying with cancer, and he knew it. Nothing could be done. You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you. And he said, during real life, the way you do it is you focus on God and not on the problem. You focus on God and not on the problem. But he also admits, as long as we will focus on God, we had peace. The times that we focused on the problems, we didn't have peace. You keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. So all I got to do is just focus on him, on his goodness and his love and his mercy, his grace. But you see, we always focus on our problems. We always set our minds on things of this earth. And the scriptures tell us to set our minds on heavenly things. The last thing you need to do is have a biblical view of death. Death is a part of life. Generally speaking, not a very good part of life, but it is a part of life. Paul says, "We are of good courage, I say, and prefer rather to be absent from the body and to be at home with the Lord." We have good courage. I'm not discouraged. I'm not down in the dumps. I prefer rather to be absent from the body and to be at home with the Lord. Christians do not have a death wish, but they do believe that when they die, they're better off than ever before. Billy Graham talks about in his book that he's known how to deal with death for years. Knows how to deal with death. He's just having a problem how to deal with life until he dies. We are of good courage, I say, and prefer rather to be absent from the body and to be at home with the Lord. When a Christian dies, he goes immediately to be with God. No soul sleep, no waiting, none of that. You go immediately. If you're a Christian, you go immediately to be with God. So death for the Christian is a joyous experience. Don't go to Home Depot looking for computer parts. And don't go to people looking for real peace. They can't give it to you. Even if they wanted to, they can't give it to you. Even if you could solve all your personal problems, your family problems, your children's problems, your work problems, your church problems, if you could solve all of them, every one of them, you still don't get peace because peace doesn't come from them. Peace comes from God. Be like the bird under the shelter of the rock, and in the midst of the storm, have peace. And we can do that because peace comes from God. It doesn't come from people. It comes from God. Now, the practical application of that is, when you don't have peace, you know where to go. See, in my made-up story, I didn't know where to go. I needed a part for the computer, but I went all wrong places. Went to all the wrong places. And we do that. We think, well, I would have peace if all these other people would straighten up. Some people would even say, I would have peace if I had more money. You know, it doesn't come from that. How I have peace is I get it from God. So therefore, practically, if you don't have peace this morning, if you're struggling within, whatever the cause of it, I don't care what the cause is, if you're struggling within, what you need to work on is your relationship to God. All those other things are important, but none of those are going to bring you peace. Only this will bring you peace. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind has stayed on you. Main point, I don't get peace from people. Where do I get it from? From God.